let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and we'll begin reading in the 8th verse. While you're turning there, I have a son-in-law, and it's not Brother Casey, that gave me a name, and it's spreading too fast. Don't you repeat what you heard as to my title. I don't want anybody saying that here. And I'm not even going to repeat it right now. I heard it a while ago, and I'm hoping you'll forget it and not ever repeat it to anybody. I won't hammer too hard today. Matthew chapter 6, and is it your custom here to stand when we read the Word of God? Let's all stand. And I'm going to back up my... let's go back to verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6. Now, I have preached here before. In fact, I preached a series of sermons on prayer. And I don't want you to think I'm preaching an old sermon. I'm not. But I am going to preach on prayer again. And in fact, I'm using the same text. But I hope that it'll be a fresh matter. And I hope you listen to God's word and it affects you today. May we pray that God will affect us, that we might be able to pray as we should. Now, verse 5, chapter 6 of Matthew. And if you think I've got something in my throat, there's some kind of allergy around here. And I think when I get up in the desert, it affects me. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore, like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Our Father, again we come thanking you for this time that we have this morning to be with thy people. And we thank you again for your word. For if it has not been for you giving us truth, we would not have known you. And we would not be here today. And many that are here on their way to heaven would not have any knowledge of that. So thank you for your word. May we cherish it today. May we listen to your word. May we, Lord, listen in such a way that it would affect our heart, our life, our practice, our daily living, that we would, Lord, be more as we should be. Affect us today, we pray in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen. You can be seated. If you see a characteristic in the early church, one of the most prominent would be in the New Testament, the wonderful prayer life of the Christians. The churches were praying churches. Paul was sent out from a praying church in Antioch. And before they laid hands upon them and sent them out, they prayed. The day of Pentecost, when the first work began for the early church, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplications. We find that after the first arrest, that first matter of persecution, when it arose, it says that they, after being released from prison, they met together and prayed. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. The disciples, the apostles, gave themselves continually to prayer, and that's how we got the first deacons, in that there was things that was hindering them from ministering in the word and in prayer. But in that wisdom of God, they continued in prayer. They gave themselves continually to prayer. When Peter was thrown in the book of Acts, in prison, in the 12th chapter of Acts, prayer was made without ceasing. It seems like to the early church, it was like breathing. It was a part of their continual activity. Prayer was something focused on and something that was relied upon, then that was leaned upon, something that was necessary for their activity, for the very lifeblood of their activity. Everything was dependent upon God to them, and therefore everything was bathed in prayer. I looked in your bulletin this morning and the Sunday school hour, and I noticed that you have a prayer meeting a week from tomorrow night. I say to you, and I think I can say this with some authority, that most churches are really not having prayer meetings today. It is a very sad thing, and we're not talking about churches that have given up the gospel, but those that still preach the Word of God, many of them, have given up their prayer meetings. And even those that have not, prayer meetings are very poorly attended. I thank God that you're having prayer meetings. Prayer is essential to healthy spiritual life. If you're going to be vital, if you're going to have the life of God in you, you're going to have to learn to pray. And what I mean by that, I know if you're saved, Christ is in you, but if he's going to work out of you, if there's going to be a vitality in you that will affect others, your life has to be a life of prayer, of dependence upon Christ, upon him, upon the Spirit of God, our Father, upon our Father in heaven. You're going to need to depend upon him to have a healthy spiritual life. The Lord Jesus warns us of wrong praying in this passage of Scripture, and then he gives us what is called and what we should call the model prayer. And it is a wonderful example to us of how we are to pray. It is not to be repeated mindlessly. It is not to be something of a ceremony in a church. It is a model prayer for us to understand and learn how to pray through it. We can find how to pray by the teachings of the Bible. And even though we may not always pray and we cannot pray as we ought, as the Scripture says, yet we need to learn all that we can and do all that we should in prayer. The Lord Jesus gives us the model prayer, and he says, Our Father. Earlier in this passage, Jesus said, when you pray, enter into your closet and pray. Sometimes we wonder what it is. Are we doing right if we gather with God's people to pray? For this instruction is to enter into our closet and pray to our Father in secret. And I say to you that individually you are to do that. There is this matter of your personal life going aside with God and praying on a regular basis. You ought to pray every day, and maybe several times a day ought to be set aside with just between you and God, with no interference, alone, and asking God for the needs that you have and the needs of others. Prayer should be a daily part of our life, and we ought to pray. But he says when we pray in this model prayer, it says here, Our Father. So prayer is also a corporate thing. When we gather together, we pray together. It's not just that we pray alone in our closet, but we also pray, in a sense, alone in our church. Now think with me for just a moment. When we have a prayer meeting, what we're doing is coming together as the body of Christ and shutting out the world to be alone with God. And there is a secret in that. There is a secret matter that we are alone with God's people, the body of Christ, praying to our God in secret. This is not a time for evangelism. It's not a time for preaching. It's not a time for teaching, although that does not mean that there's not teaching involved in it to prepare us to pray. But the prayer itself is our alone being alone with God as a corporate body. The Spirit of God comes upon us in power as individuals, but also as a corporate matter of us being together. That's what church services are about, to gather together. And there is a work that God does for us as a body, as a unit, together with him. And so we pray, Our Father. And that is a wonderful thing, not only to get alone in your closet and pray, but get alone with God in your church. That is very important. By the way, that's why it's very important that our church be pure. That is, and I do not say that we have everybody in our church membership that's saved. We have, I'm sure, on almost every church, maybe every church roll, those that are not saved. Yet it is that very important matter that we have a purity as much as we know how, and that we preach the gospel properly so that when people come into our church, they truly know the gospel and they have truly been converted, because this is a praying body. Those that know God, those that are alone with God, those that are in fellowship with God, our Father, not just my Father, we're corporate here, and it's our Father, and it's not just that He's ours, but He is our Father. We have been born from above and received the adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There is a salvation that is wonderfully necessary in the matter of prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It's a corporate matter, and a church should pray together. If you miss prayer meeting, you've missed a vital part of your body. And if you miss preaching, it'll certainly hurt you. And if you miss teaching of the Word of God, it'll certainly affect you wrongly. But if you miss prayer also, it will affect you deeply in a very sad and tragic way. Learn to pray individually, yes, but learn to pray as a body. Lean upon the body, together praying together to the Lord for His work. Continue, He said, the Lord Jesus, in prayer until you be endued with power from on high. And that early church, 120 in the upper room, they continued together in prayer. And that was the lifeblood of the body of believers. I say to you, we have neglected prayer in individual lives and in the corporate life of the church. And it's vital to our work. Can you imagine what we're saying to God? That we can bring a conversion to those that are dead spiritually without His help. It is impossible. Can you imagine for us to say to God that we can help the baby Christians grow in knowledge of the Lord without prayer, without asking God's Spirit to teach them? It's not reasonable that we think that we can pray. Oh, there's many things that we'll give up and say it's terrible. Oh, it's terrible. We give up. We didn't have this and we didn't have that, and we don't do this and we don't do that, and we think it's terrible. But nobody says we've given up prayer. And that's terrible. You know, the devil doesn't want you to pray. All the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, it ends by saying praying with all prayer and supplication. If we're going to be victorious spiritually, we must have a prayer meeting with God's people together as a church, united together in purpose and in fellowship centered on Him, our Father, which art in heaven. Now, let me say to you, and we're all failures, more than what we want to admit in prayer, aren't we? If I could say to you, there's a weakness I wished I could have not lived by, it's the weakness of neglect of prayer. I dare say that every true Christian in this room regrets a past that has not been as much in prayer as it ought to have been. If we have a regret as we look back, and I'd say to you that as older Christians especially, as we see years that have passed behind us, more and more we look back with regret of saying, I wish I'd have prayed more. I wish I'd have prayed more. Well, I want to give you some encouragement in that. And I hope that we realize that. I think that we have a great opportunity. I don't think we ought to be pessimistic about this matter of prayer and all our past failings. That doesn't mean that it has to continue. And if you haven't prayed as you should, and as I would raise my hand on that, that doesn't mean that it can't change. God is very gracious, isn't He? He's wonderful, isn't He, to help us.
and we can have that help. Well, I want to help you with it. What is this to pray? And I think there's a great illustration that would help us. I think sometimes we don't pray because we don't know maybe how. Or we don't know, it just seems like that we're kind of in the dark, kind of groping around, wondering what we're doing. Well, I think it'll be a help to us if we look at this. You know, what God does here is He begins us right. And it's important to begin any job in the right way. You don't have to back up so much, you see. If you start right, it's half the battle, isn't it? And to start right in a matter of prayer is so important. Start right. And He starts right here. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Now, I preached on that here before. But let me relate it to you this time in this way. If you would analyze this, and I hope that you will, and I hope that you'll stay with me and think about what it's being said here. How do you know what this means? Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. I think every one of you that are true Christians knows exactly what it is if you just would use a key to unlock it. I'm going to make a statement, and I think it's so true. Jesus is not being complicated here with us. But it seems sometimes to us as it's complicated. But let's take it apart, see it in another way, in a light that maybe we haven't seen. When you first were a Christian, what did you want? What were your desire when you first became a Christian? I say to you that not if all you did to be a Christian was be baptized, well, then this wasn't your first desire. You don't know what I'm talking about here. You won't know what I'm talking about. But every Christian really knows how to pray. If you just unlock it a little bit, He knows. And it's because your desire. You had, when you were first saved, you had a desire. And what is that desire? It was called your first love. And that first love talked about by the Apostle John in the book of the Revelation. A church had left its first love. Oh, they were sound doctrinally. Did they not stand up for truth? Oh, did they not battle the error of false preachers, false prophets? Oh, yes, they did. And they were fervent about it. And they were strong in it. But they were lost their first love. And I say to you, that first desire that they had been taken from them. They weren't living in it. And they had lost that. What was that? You know, I remember when I got saved. Oh, you see this. Salvation had come. My sin was tremendous. It was so heavy upon me. And I wanted to be so rid of that burden of sin. I wanted to be forgiven. I wanted to be right with God. And I didn't know how to be right with God. And I didn't know what to do. And I didn't know where to go. And I didn't think God would even be right. Why, how could He forgive me for all the things I'd done against Him? But when He forgave me, oh, how I loved Him. And how I wanted His name to be known and lifted up to others. How His name was elevated in my own heart. Oh, and there was nobody better than Him. Nobody more good. Nobody better. Nobody gooder. Nobody as good as He was. Nobody like Him. That He loved me. That He cared for me. That He had His Son die for me. Oh, the Lord Jesus. How He loved me. How He died for me, and He had saved me because of His death for me. Oh, I wanted Him to be known. I wanted His name. I wanted others to know how good He is and how wonderful He was to me. That is what is here. Hallowed be Thy name. You've sensed it, haven't you, dear Christian? You really have. You that are wonderfully saved. You knew when you first saved that sin was gone. Christ was your Savior. Your focus was on Him. Hallowed be His name. That was true in your own heart. And that desire was for others to know Him. And to know His goodness and His greatness, His beauty, His wonder. You may not have known all the things deeply that you know about Him now. You've learned the depths of God in a better way maybe now. But you loved Him then. And you wanted others to know Him then. And He was wonderful to you then. That was your first love. Do you get it? Do you know how to pray? As you focus upon Him. as you recall, as you think again, as you realize His wonders. Hallowed be Thy name. Oh, I know we talk about worship, we talk about it, and it's a cold mental thing. It's oftentimes undefined. Oh, holy, 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 now we're worshiping. I tell you, when you love God, you don't have to pretend, do you? Hallowed be Thy name. That was on your heart. That was your desire. A new Christian prays like this. I want others. Oh, he didn't know that it was there. He didn't know those words. But he experienced the desire to lift up God to others. Hallowed be Thy name. How he wanted others to honor the Savior that had saved him. You see it? So you know what it is, don't you? Get back to your first love and pray. And by the way, the reason that oftentimes we've lost our first love is because we have not spent time alone with our Savior. Thy kingdom come. What is that? Oh, there's all kinds of theories of what the kingdom is. You know, when Jesus comes again, he's going to set up his kingdom. Well, is there not a kingdom now? I agree that when he comes, there's going to be this wonderful kingdom of heaven. I understand that. But is he not ruling now in men's hearts? Is there not a king? I have a king. I've already got a king. Do you have a king, Christian? Are you with me today? Are you awake today? Are you here today? He's the king. If you're saved, he's your king. Hallelujah. And he rules, doesn't he, in your life? Oh, he doesn't have a whip that he uses on your back necessarily. Oh, if you get away, he may chastise you. But, oh, he rules. And you see his goodness and you want that wonderful goodness. And he rules in your heart. That is the kingdom. But don't you want him to rule in other people's lives? Oh, my wife baked a wonderful peach cobbler. And maybe I'll have her bake it again sometime and we'll bring it to you. How's that? But I'm going to tell you something. Thy kingdom come is a lot better than a peach cobbler. And to love him and to say, oh, God, save souls. Bring people into your kingdom. The focus of the church corporately should be that souls be saved. Thy kingdom come. Lord, thy name be glorified and thy kingdom come. That's the first love, isn't it? You get saved. You want somebody else to be saved. You can't... It really is the new love, isn't that first wonderful love? I want others to know Savior like me. Not just to know that God is real and God is great, but I want Him to know, be known. I want people to know Him, and I want them to have Christ, and I want Christ to rule in their life. And that is the purpose of a church, isn't it? Thy kingdom come. I tell you something. We ought to get excited about prayer. Well, let's go on. My time is going, slipping by fast. And thy will be done. Thy will be done, not my will. I remember years ago in a church service. Oh, it was a Wednesday night, I should say. We had a business meeting. I was a teenager, 13 years of age. And an old man got up in that business meeting and challenged my father. My father was the pastor. And challenged my father to step outside. And they weren't stepping outside just to have a little talk. They were stepping outside to fight. Now, this man was in his 70s and my dad was in his 60s. And my dad, I was born when he was 47, if you're adding it up. So here he is being asked to step outside. You know, it was over. I'm going to tell you something. Somebody wasn't praying. It wasn't thy will be done. It was over what they were going to paint the church. Do you think that was a praying church? I don't think so. You hear me? What was it when you first got saved? This first love? Lord, whatever you want, I'll do. You that are really saved in this room, you when you first were saved, you weren't holding back, were you? You weren't pretending. When you first got saved, whatever God wanted, you just needed to know what it was. And some of you didn't know His will in a lot of areas, but you wanted to know. You wanted to know what He had to say. Well, I remember a man coming to church and one Sunday morning and getting saved. He came to the Lord Jesus, and he got really saved. And so Thursday night we had visitation, and he showed up visitation. Did I tell you the story? You know, you're getting old, you start repeating yourself. Anyway, he showed up to visitation, and he had a T-shirt on with no pocket. Well, he had a pack of cigarettes rolled up in his... And you know how that is. You know how you did that? You know, if you were cool back in that time, that was the way to carry cigarettes. And so he shows up, and he's going to go out, and I see him, and I'm glad he's there, and I think, what am I going to do? And so he probably sees something on my face. I'm not sure, but I team him up with me. You know, you're going to go with me. And I can remember this to my just like it was yesterday. As he was going out the back door of the church, he reached for those cigarettes and he said, "You know, Brother Doyle, maybe I ought to take these out and not take them with me. What do you think?" That was his first love, wasn't it? I didn't say a word to him. But if he just sensed a little bit that God wanted something, that's his first love, isn't it? You see, this is not a hard way to pray. This is something that a brand new Christian prays. This is his desire. What happened to us, Christians? But those three things, it doesn't end. He says, on earth as it is in heaven. Do you see that? Hallowed be thy name on earth. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come on earth. Hallowed be thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that's we can understand. We want people to be saved. And the people in heaven are saved, aren't they? And the kingdom is in heaven. Yes, there's a wonderful matter that's to finish yet. But God's people are in heaven. And we want people to be saved and in God's kingdom here. And God is hallowed in heaven. And we want Him to be hallowed here. We want Him to be honored here. We want Him to be glorified here as well as in heaven, right? Amen. That's your first love. That was your first desire. Well, let's put some flesh on this. Do you think that it's needed in church? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Do you think that we ought to see that in church? Then the church needs prayers, doesn't it? Lord, here in our midst, help us to honor you. Lord, help us to lift you up. Help us to have our goal to honor and glorify you above all else. We can pray together for that, can't we? And that can be a desire. And it can help each other. And we need to pray for the church. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. All new babies. I know you got some new babies here. And I'm not talking about physical babies. And I'm not talking about stunted Christians' growth. I'm talking about new Christians that have been saved not too long back. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Thy kingdom come. Oh, for more and more babies. For new ones to be birthed. We can pray for our church, can't we? For people to be saved here. Thy will be done here. Oh, Aunt Susie. Aunt Susie didn't like something. Thy will be done. In our church. As it is in heaven. I hope nobody's here named Susie. You see? What's your desire? What's your motivation? What do you want? It can be in the church. Well, what about in your home? Some of you have lost children that are grown. Oh, that they might see the glory of God, that they might enter into the salvation work of Christ, that they might one day say, Lord, I will obey and follow your rule, thy will be done. That's what we pray for. Now, I know sometimes somebody gets sick and we need to pray for them. That's a wonderful thing. And we don't know whether God wants to get them well or not. And we ask and say, God, thy will be done. But do we not know for sure that God wants souls to be saved? Thy kingdom come. Do we not know positively that God's will wants to, he wants his will done? In our church, in our home. Oh, the prayer that we can pray. Somebody says, I pray 5 minutes and I run out. Not if you have this first love. And we'll talk about repenting in just a moment. Our personal lives. Can you pray for yourself? What's wrong with you? Ask your wife, right? Come on, you can smile. What's wrong with you? It'd all be solved in those things, wouldn't it? If God was our focus, that we wanted Him to be honored, give me a position at church. Now I'll be honored. That's what I'm after. What's wrong with us? Oh God, help me. How self-centered I am. Doesn't bother me when somebody blasphemes you, but when they cross me, it really bothers me. What's wrong with me, Lord? You know what prayer does? Prayer, real prayer, causes you to examine your own heart. Are you with me today? Oh, I hope you are. This is the answer, isn't it? This is why God said to that church that had lost its first love, repent, or I'll come and remove the candlestick. Oh, serious business. Something's wrong in our personal lives. And I say to you, the more you pray, the more you realize how you need to pray. And you need to pray for yourself. Lord, the souls of men, help me to love them. Thy kingdom come. I have a decision to make, Lord. And if I make one decision, go one way, it's going to cost me a lot of money. If I go the other way, well, I might just have to tell a little lie. But at least it won't cost me any money. Oh, we need to pray for ourselves, don't we? Thy will be done. Thy will be done. And by the way, every one of you that have children, if you're a Christian, your children are growing up or they're almost grown, you're wanting them to pray that, aren't you? You don't want your child to say, there's a beautiful girl over there, even though she's not saved. I think she'd make a wonderful wife. You don't want them to pray like that. You don't want them to say, God, give me that woman, like Samson did. What you want them to do is say, Lord, help me to surrender to your will. Well, what's good for them is good for us, isn't it? Well, we need to repent. But before I get into that, let me give you one more point, and I'll try to hurry. Prayer is essential to a healthy spiritual life. It is the vital exercise to encourage and build hope in the Christian and in the church. Hope is one of God's wonderful gifts. They're the three that will remain forever: faith, hope, and charity. But prayer builds hope, because prayer is not about the past, is it? Are you with me? Prayer is not about the past. Have I lost? How come I've lost some of you? Hello? Prayer is not about the past. You don't pray for the dead, do you? Prayer is about the future. And when you pray, what you're doing is you're looking ahead. And as God answers prayer, your hope is built. Your look at the future is no longer cloudy or dark, but it is bright and sunny. Prayer builds a sunny disposition. The children of prayer are endurance. People that endure in the work of God, they are prayer warriors. The endurance also, another child, is long-suffering. The children of hope are kind and patient, long-suffering with others. Pray long for the lost child. The hope is still there, and so the long-suffering endures. But not only that, there is enthusiasm in prayer. It is the child of prayer. Enthusiasm. There's a base word in that, a root word in the Latin, and it has to do with God. Enthuse has to do with God. A God outlook. Enthusiasm. Church should be enthusiastic. Now we're enthusiastic about our friends, aren't we? We're enthusiastic that we have a good job. We're enthusiastic about the payday that we have. But oftentimes, without prayer, a Christian spiritual life loses its enthusiasm. But prayer is God's work that comes down through that into our life, and it builds enthusiasm and optimism. The seeds of optimism begin on your knees. And every Christian ought to be optimistic. The future is bright for those that are praying. And I don't mean to say to you, and I don't want to mislead you, prayer is a very difficult battle. But when we have continued on our knees praying, we begin to see and understand the will of God and the work of God and the glory of God, and we begin to see God move. Maybe it's just in a little cloud as Elijah is on his knees, you see, praying, and hadn't rained for 3.5 years. But now that challenge has been met, and there is that altar that has been consumed with fire, and the people are saying, "The Lord, He is God." And now then Elijah again, and I do not think that those 3.5 years were just spent doing nothing. I think he's just doing what he was doing in that 3.5 years, and he's praying. And he prays, and he prays, and 7 times, and then there's a little cloud. And he says to Ahab, "You better get down. There's going to be a rain." We need some optimism, don't we? You say, "But you don't know what I'm up against." You know, if you're thinking that right now, or you don't know, hey, I can't. I see a problem. I can't change it. I'm going to say to you, you better either continue praying or start praying. And maybe I ought to say, start praying. You're kind of telling on yourself. God does move mountains. I told you this was a different
sermon. Do you remember my sermon? I want you to show me your notes on my last sermon on this when we're over. Endurance, long-suffering, enthusiasm, optimism, and many other things are the children of hope. And hope comes as we pray. These are essential for spiritual warfare. If a church is to have a victorious work and an abiding, joyous fellowship, prayer is absolutely essential. So we need correction, don't we? And if you say, I don't need any correction, well, I'm glad because I think I do. Jesus, before he gave this model prayer, he did the correcting. We're going to reverse it and do it now. He said that we're not to pray to be seen of men. And many times I fear this is true, that many people in churches, the only time they pray is when they're seen of men. We're not to use repetitious prayers. And we make up our own repetition, don't we? Why do we make up our own repetition? I'm going to tell you why, and I hope you're listening. It's because we've lost our first love. And we don't know what to say. So we just start repeating. Covetous prayers. We feel like that we ask and we keep on asking and we keep asking, but we don't receive. Covetous prayers. James says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye might consume it upon your own lust. I wonder today if American churches, fundamental churches, would have better prayer meetings, or at least even have prayer meetings, if we were in a time of great depression. If the money wasn't flowing and we could hardly put food on our table. Now, I'm not saying that that would be wrong to pray for your food. In fact, Jesus goes on and says that, doesn't he? But you see, the first is very important, that it be in the right order, that his will be done, that's foremost in my mind. And not that I'm praying so that I can get something and fulfill it upon my own desires, my own lust. And that's what the word desire or lust means, my own desires. Covetous prayers. We need correction. Many times the only time people pray is when they're hurt of men. Or they, because their heart is not in it, they learn repetitious prayers. Or they pray when they're hurting and it's only for themselves. Covetous prayers. Proper prayer must be learned and practiced. Now, if you want to know the reason for this message, I believe the Lord would have. And let me just say a word. I was preaching Friday at the mission. I wrestled with God on an issue. There's a sermon that I preached. And it's on Naaman the leper. And I think I preached on it less than a year ago there. And there's men that come in this mission, and they're the same men. And it was going to be a little different sermon, but much of it the same. And I wrestled with God. God, I don't want to preach this sermon. And I finally gave in, and I preached it. And a man came forward, and the first thing out of his mouth is, that sermon was meant for me. And you know, most of the time, those men have been so confused by wrong type of presenting of the salvation that I've spent 15, 20, 30 minutes with them
to help him understand. But this man I think maybe he was saved before he got to me. And then he said, this sermon was meant for me. I said, you know, I didn't want to preach this sermon. And I said, I had an argument with God over it. God knows. And what he said then to me was this. I wasn't going to come into the building. Now, this is an important sermon. It's not important because of a preacher. But this is vital. And you have in the future prayer meetings scheduled. And you have in the future revival meetings scheduled. You have in the future events that are vital to somebody's life in eternity. That's the purpose of this sermon. What an opportunity we have. Don't think you're alone in responsibility. But realize it is your responsibility as a Christian. And I believe that if we listen to God's instruction on what to pray, how not to pray, and took it to heart, and ask forgiveness for coldness of heart, of losing our first love, or if we haven't lost our first love, maybe not praying as much as we could have, and if we prayed wrongly in any way, asking God to forgive us and asking God for the grace that we need in this terrible and important battle. We need help, and seeking God to help us in this matter of prayer, earnestly seeking Him until God answers and we see wonderful future ahead. And that's the only way it'll come. Well, hallelujah. My time has passed. Would you stand and let's pray together. I'm not just speaking when I say to you that as I look back on my life, I have great heaviness as I see my failing in prayer. But I see one that loves and cares for me, and oh, may I see that today, that I might love him. That I might have my heart focused on Him and His goodness. And that I might cry out, Lord, help me to pray. Lord, forgive me for saying words I don't mean. For repeating things just because I don't know what else to say because my heart's not in prayer. Lord, forgive us for asking with a lustful, covetous heart. Oh, that's what we need today. Lord, help me. Help me to pray.